March 8th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. We still have snow on the ground, but the sun is shining. People are out walking their dogs. It looks like a wonderful day. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month, and you will see a list of all the guests together with some interesting links, usually associated with the guest or somewhat compatible with their ideas. There is also a link to ZCF's book at spingola.com. It's right on the front page, and it's a great book. It's a great read, and I encourage you to download that book. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Deanna. I'm actually participating in the program from a very cold and wet Pacific Northwest. I'm actually traveling this week, and you know, I've done some oral histories from up in the Pacific Northwest. There's a rather large German expatriate community up here, and it's kind of interesting the dynamics. One of my prior oral histories was with a former German Panzer Grenadier who actually still retains his German citizenship, but also one of the last persons who was in Hitler's bunker lived in Portland, and he passed away just a few years ago, and I conversed with his family. And also Joseph Stalin's granddaughter lives in Portland, has a little shop in downtown Portland, Oregon. And it's kind of interesting. You can go in Portland, Oregon, and you can see former Wehrmacht veterans as well as Joseph Stalin's granddaughter. It's just kind of interesting who you can bump into in the Pacific Northwest of the United States.
Amazing. Now, I've been to Portland. It's very nice. It rained a lot there when I was there.
It's raining now.
I think they have a reputation for having a lot of rain. Now, are you up in Covington territory? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm up in the Pacific Northwest. I've done a few interviews, and I'm actually trying to line up another oral history while I'm up here before I head back home.
Wonderful. That is super.
I've had one delayed because of an illness of the person I was going to interview. You know, the folks that I interview are quite elderly, and I have to, you know, I work around their availability and schedule, and so I've had to reset it. And of course, and I had some reschedules due to health issues in my family. So I've visited with a lot of folks. I was here, and I've had to generally a real good time. Except, you know, the weather is kind of interesting. One day it'll be nice and shiny, or you know, sunshiny, and then the next minute it'll be cold, wet, and rainy.
Right, but that's why you have such good gardens up there.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful up here.
Right. All righty. We are coming up on our three-minute break, our first one for today's program. And we will be back after a word from our sponsor. So be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. go to campingsurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. Campingsurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at campingsurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. Campingsurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at campingsurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. I've got my bottle of homemade kombucha, a container of coconut water, and a container of coconut juice. So I think I'm ready to listen to all of this wonderful things that you're going to share with us today.
Well, this topic, you know, mistakes and Monday quarterbacking, I remember Deanna kind of evolved out of a prior show when out of the chat room a lot of questions started coming up about, you know, was this a mistake? Was that a mistake? And I think you and I had a discussion, you know, maybe we should do a show because, and I think this show is going to require audience participation because I think everybody has in their own mind what may or may not have been a mistake. And I always tell people, The first thing that people need to remember is to be very careful not to analyze history and historical events through today's eyes. We have the benefit of, you know, knowing things and having, you know, review that people 50, 60, 70 years ago did not have. And I think that we need to understand that when we review history, we need to review it and kind of try to work very, very hard to place ourselves in the context of those that were there and into the geopolitics and events of the times in which we are looking at. And, of course, looking at, you know, the period of the Third Reich and the geopolitics, bear in mind that the National Socialists came to power after a period of about 14 years of political struggle. And as soon as they come to power, they're faced with a hostile world Jewry and world banking system that wants to bring them down at once because they ushered in an entirely new economic system that was going to be, you know, just was revolutionary. And, you know, Hitler made a comment believed that the war was he himself. And I was looking for that comment in one of my texts, and I'll probably find it during the course of this show, that the war was really about, international banking or international economics. It had very little. Here it is. Hitler made the comment. This is his direct quote. "I realized the fight was not against enemy nations, but against international capital." That's Hitler's direct quote. And to put all that in context, when we start saying, well, this was a mistake, that was a mistake, I think need to really be careful about what we deem might be a mistake, based on our own personal opinions. We need to really look at everything in context. And so what I've decided to do is basically, this show is going to require, like I say, audience participation, either through call-ins or by email or through the chat room. If you think something may have been a mistake, put it into the chat room or call in and let's talk about it. But I'm going to cover some of the big ones. And almost always, I relatively never hear of anything that was a mistake, pre-war. Because if you look at the pre-war period, and I always say you have to look at the Third Reich in totality, there was the period of 1933-1939, which was the period of tremendous peace and prosperity and economic renewal. And I don't know who can argue that there was really any mistakes in that period of time. The occupation of the Rhineland, we're talking about foreign policy now. Economically, I don't know how anybody can argue there would be any mistakes economically in the NSDAP economic program. Foreign policy, the reoccupation of the Rhineland, that made the German general staff very leery, because Germany had not fully rearmed, and there was a backup plan that had the French resisted, the Germans simply would have turned around and went back home. I mean, it was a bluff, and the Germans won. But the French, they realized that the Germans had every right to reoccupy the Rhineland. There was no moral basis for them to continue their occupation of the Rhineland. Interestingly, I put out a news article today. The British have decided they will graciously end their World War II occupation of Germany in the year 2020. Yes, there are still British occupation troops in Germany today. There are American occupation troops in Germany still. The Russians finalized their withdrawal, I believe, in 1994, the last Russian troops left. But today there's a news article out that the British will have the last British occupation troops out of Germany in the year 2020. But getting
isn't
back,
isn't that amazing? That is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely silly. But anyway, getting back to mistakes, then you go up to the you get up to the Anschluss, and there was no doubt that that was not a mistake. Austria had wanted to become part of Germany. Post-World War I, they were forbidden to do that. The Sudetenland clearly was not a mistake. These were calculations in foreign policy. And, the joining of the Sudetenland was agreed upon by international treaty. The French and the British signed that treaty and granted the Sudetenland. The occupation of Bohemia, which was what we would call what is presently the Czech Republic today. People make the case, well, that was non-German territory. Well, Czechoslovakia was an artificially created, vassal state that was designed to basically be a sphere up into the heart of Germany as a launching pad to invade Germany and to interfere in German international affairs. And when push came to shove, it was the Czechs that actually invited German occupation when all was said and done. This is no different than a lot of the modern day British and American and even Russian foreign policy objectives to quote unquote protect their interests. I mean, nobody cried foul when the United States invaded Grenada, invaded Panama and such to quote unquote protect their sphere of influence or protect their so-called encroachments into their sovereignty. The Germans had every right to occupy this artificially created state that threatened their internal territorial integrity. Poland, we can get in to the Polish issue, but was the Polish action a mistake? Well, the Germans signed a non-aggression pact with the Soviets. So there was not a two-front, there would not have been a two-front war on that issue. And every indication, you know, from the German point of view was what interest did the French and the British, and the French really did not want to go to war over Poland. They reluctantly did. And why would there have been a major war over the over a Polish situation? There was, and if they were going to defend Polish territorial integrity, why did they not take any action? They didn't even sanction, they didn't even call for any sanctions on the Soviet invasion of Poland from the east, and the Soviets ended up with a greater, more Polish territory than the Germans did. So I wouldn't even consider the Polish issue a mistake. All is said and done when Pushkin, when you look at the hindsight of history, not from my prior statement. In the hindsight, if you look at everything that it cost the British Empire, I think it actually was a mistake for the British to be on the wrong side of history. If you look at what happened to the British Empire and look at the state of the British Empire in the year 2013, but that's for probably another show possibly. But moving on, if somebody wants to propose a potential mistake or something to talk about pre-war, I want to get into some of the big issues that people always bring up during the war, you know, because it's always the war, because National Socialist Germany has never been proven to have been a failure, culturally, socially, economically. It was brought down by the combined might of international Jewry, capitalism, and communism. Had that not happened, there's no reason to believe that it would not be still in existence today, and it wouldn't have eclipsed communism and what we see today as international plutocratic capitalism. There's no reason to believe that would not have happened. But as we move into the war and we talk about mistakes, I can, you know, just to, you know, as a precursor, we had said, you know, previously, Deanna, were there mistakes? Yes, and Hitler talked about some of them. And I'll give one real brief one before we get into some of the longer ones. When the Bismarck, you know, the great German battleship Bismarck and the Prinz Eugen, which was almost like an escort, you know, destroyer, like what we would call equivalent to an escort destroyer, and of course the Bismarck was the primary. When Admiral Raeder reported to Hitler that the Bismarck and the Prinz Eugen had successfully put out to sea, you know, made it past the, made it out to the North Atlantic to put out to sea to begin its, raids on British shipping and such. Hitler remarked to Raeder, I wish we could call them back, you know, and basically keep them up into the Norwegian fords or up into Hitler realized the enormous supremacy of the British fleet. And as good and as well and modern and well designed as the Bismarck was, you know, he knew that eventually it would be no match for the combined might of the overall British fleet. Now let's look at this, and it's impressive. The Bismarck is impressive. You know, it took it, you know, in its first engagement with the Pride and the, you know, the flagship of the British fleet, the Hood, it took it out almost literally with one shot. However, no one battleship can take on an entire fleet, and that's essentially what it eventually happened. And even then, it was later proved that The Bismarck was still standing and it was scuttling itself, but still it was set on fire and it lost a tremendous number of German Kriegsmarine members. The Prinz Eugen did make it through the war. It was eventually used as a nuclear test target, but there just wasn't enough German battleships. The Germans had an aircraft carrier in development. It was never fully completed. But, you know, Hitler's comment was, you know, they had not fully developed the German surface fleet. And, one can, if you look at this, the plans that were made public, you know, and, you know, that are available in archives of the Kriegsmarine planning, the Germans didn't necessarily need to have the same number of ships that the British fleet had, but had they built out to capacity, to full capacity, which was going to be about 35 to 40%.
Rodney, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have to go to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Great.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org, and you were talking about some of the so-called mistakes. And, of course, it's easy to go back and replay things and say, well, if they'd done this or that, it would have been better. But Hitler did not always have the full support of other people. And
no,
I think that was also an issue.
That is a good point. We're going to get into that during the course of the show. We're going to talk about the internal squabbles and the philosophical difference and some of the outright treason that was going on. But let me wrap up with the German Navy. The Germans did not have to have the same size of navy as the British fleet. Had, you know, the original treaty, the Germans had a treaty with the British that they would have about a 30% size navy as the British fleet. And as you look at the build-out plans of the German Navy, the quality and the designs of the German fleet, that would have been more than sufficient in terms of being able to match the British fleet. They were never able, by the time the war started in earnest, they did not have that ratio, that 30% ratio. Of course, they relied heavily on the U-boats early on, and then that was somewhat neutralized in late 42, early 43, but by 44, mid 44, late 44, the Germans had developed a new U-boat, the Type 2021, which was revolutionary. And by 44 and even early 45, U-boat production was back at its height, and they were producing these new quality U-boats, which was the prototype for some of the post-war American and Soviet submarines. And it's just amazing. But getting on to the war, that just touched on that. You know, that was one comment that Hitler made to Admiral Rader. One of the big ones that were talked about, Poland was conquered in about a month. And then there was this standoff that was called kind of the phony war on the Western Front until about May of 1940 when the Germans launched, they took Norway, they preempted. Of course, we talk about preemption and Barbarossa, which I'll get into that, but the Norwegian campaign, the occupation of Denmark and Norway, that was also a preemption because the British had their eyes on basically occupying Norway, which would have had huge ramifications. You would have had British armies to the north of Germany, and you would have had them cut off the iron ore shipments coming from Sweden. So that really people don't really talk about that very much. But the occupation of Norway, which they were prosecuted for at Nuremberg as being, you occupied a neutral nation. Well, the British already had troops, and they were harassing German shipping along the fjords. That was a preemptive act, and so that should not go unsaid. And then, of course, the campaign in the West in earnest in 1940, culminating in this thing called Dunkirk. And there are people, and unfortunately, Jim Condit and I have never had the opportunity to do our part two of our debate.
We've never heard back from him, right?
No, I've sent a couple of emails to him, so maybe he has something else going on, or he just doesn't want to proceed anymore. But Dunkirk, there's a lot of, I would call, misinformation, misinterpretation about Dunkirk. And so I want to talk about Dunkirk. People talk about, Hitler let the British get away. The British won at Dunkirk. Well, that's been spun. And, about a year ago, a British military historian wrote an excellent article about Dunkirk. And he finally, I'd written some articles and comments Dunkirk.
I did a show on Dunkirk also.
This has been absolutely mischaracterized. And military historians said, look, once and for all, Dunkirk was a loss. And I think we need to really put this in perspective if you look at the order of battle. Did some British soldiers get away? Yes, they did. But if you look at the overall situation at Dunkirk, the Germans had basically gone around the Maginot Line and left those French troops locked up, and basically the Maginot Line became a prison for the French troops that were in there. Bypassed them, left them in there, and then moved into France, forced the British expeditionary force, which is about 10 infantry divisions and three other corps and some tank brigades, and then pushed them. They ended up being pushed back. But if you look, they pushed them up into this, and it turned out to be basically almost like a pocket at Dunkirk. And then there was this big brouhaha that came up. There's all these conspiracy theories as to why they said Hitler let him go. The fact of the matter is initially when the British Expeditionary Force pocketed up around Dunkirk and they started evacuating, there was a ring around that pocket protected by some French troops. And initially, the very first order wasn't even given by Hitler to, hold off and consolidate. Those actually orders were issued by Field Marshal von Rundstedt, who was the commander-in-chief of the German armies in the West, because you had a pocket forming. And you don't just drive into a pocket. You consolidate, prepare for an assault. There was also another. I've heard some other conspiracy theories saying that the Germans had outrun their supply line.
We do have a commercial break.
Okay.
We will be right back, and we'll pick up the issue of Dunkirk when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, whose website is wvfoundations.org. And you were talking about Dunkirk and some of the myths that surround that particular event. So please continue.
Okay. Getting back, as I said earlier, it was the initially it was Field Marshal von Rundstedt who was the commander in chief of the German forces in the West that initially issued the order to halt when they was informed that there was a pocket forming. And when you do that, you don't drive into a pocket when you have roughly about 250,000 enemy troops forming and there's a ring when there's a defensive ring. And very quickly, a defensive ring can turn offensive really quickly. You do not charge headforce into that type of a situation. You consolidate your forces and prepare for an assault. Now, some people have even gone so far to say, "Well, the Germans outran their supply lines, and that was a reason why." That is patently false, and I'll explain that in greater detail as you'll see when we get into the Soviet discussions, because the Germans, when they launched their Blitzkrieg and their offensive operations, their Panzer spearheads were well supplied. Their armored spearheads, they had about 2 to 3 and sometimes 4 command and supply vehicles for each Panzer. And so there wasn't a supply line issue at Dunkirk. Dunkirk was done for 2, possibly 3 primary reasons. One, and the initial order from General Field Marshal von Rundstedt had to do with having that large of a military force pocketed up with a defensive ring around it. And then two, there was always always a philosophical difference going on between Hitler, philosophical argumentation between Hitler and his generals. Now, this is, as we proceed in the show, this has to be really, really clearly understood. Unlike Stalin, who had army purges, if Stalin felt that general or that colonel, you know, Stalin and his army purges killed about 90% of the colonels in the Red Army. 90%. The average age, and I'm digressing a little bit, but this is important to understand the difference between Hitler's general staff and Hitler's military. Hitler just didn't kill people that dissented with him. There was healthy debate and policy discussion. For instance, you know, Hitler simply fired generals who disagreed with him or demoted them or replaced them or reassigned them. Stalin executed them. The average age of a general in Stalin's Red Army in 1940 was it between 40 and 44 years old. The average age of a general in the Wehrmacht in 1940 was about 56. Therefore, you had a very seasoned and experienced Wehrmacht as opposed to the Red Army. That actually worked in the Wehrmacht's favor when they actually entered the Soviet Union in June of 1941. But I was saying, but there was this philosophical divide. The Wehrmacht generals were very headstrong. They were very Prussian, whereas Hitler was a modern, was probably the very first tactician of modern warfare. Hitler believed in some of the modern tactics, and that's not my statement, actually. That is the statement of none other than the head military historian of the modern Bundeswehr, the modern German military. That is his statement, which is a remarkable statement to hear. He's a general himself. He's a retired general, and his final posting was the head historian of the Bundeswehr. He said, actually, to his credit, that is his statement, this Bundeswehr general, Hitler was the first modern tactician where he realized that, you know, rushing headlong, you know, attacking head first, capturing capitals wasn't nearly as important as taking, capturing resources, cutting, making sure there wasn't huge pockets of enemies in the flank, and making sure your flanks were protected properly, and you know, making sure that your rear guards were properly defended. That is important also as we move into the Russian campaign, because you'll see these philosophical divides and these arguments blow up, and what we talk about as mistakes, we're going to see more or less had to do with these philosophical arguments between Hitler and the general staff, which had been educated on the older Prussian traditions and the older tactics. Hitler represented a newer, modern version of tactics as opposed to the older Prussian version of tactics. And that came to life for the very first time at Dunkirk. But getting to the facts, what are the facts of Dunkirk? First of all, we hear the story that almost 500,000 British got away. Okay, that is absolutely patently false. We look at how many British troops got away. It was actually let me look at the number here. I'm having a hard time reading my notes altogether. But it was of all of the British, it was about 300,000 that actually evacuated or got away at Dunkirk. You can say got away, we'll lose a term. But of that total number, 180,000 were British. The rest were French and Belgians. And of that number of French, Deanna, consisted of the entire Free French of Charles de Gaulle. I mean, so this whole adage of the Free French being this huge force, that's what it consisted of. The Free French consisted of the French that evacuated at Dunkirk and went across the Channel in 1940. And actually, the number actually was 200,000 British and 139,000 French and Belgian troops. That's the actual number that went across the Channel.
How many French? How many French?
Pardon me?
How many French?
It was 139,000 French and Belgian. And
okay.
198,000 British. But if you look at what the loss, what the actual loss was, they left behind 2,500 all of their heavy artillery and guns. They left behind all 65,000 of their armored vehicles and light trucks. They left behind all 20,000 of their lighter vehicles. They left half a million short tons of materials, 75,000 tons of ammunition, and 170,000 tons of fuel. They left behind, I mean, you can bring troops across. Troops are fine. But you bring those troops across, if there's no weapons, fuels, trucks, anything to give them, it's almost pointless. Now, Hermann Göring made the comment, I'll wipe them out on the, using the Luftwaffe. And actually, if you look at what the losses were, the Luftwaffe took out three French naval destroyers. They also took out four of the largest British naval ships that went over and to pick up to evacuate the British expeditionary force as well. And when you total all of the losses, the British military historian that wrote this article, I think it was in 2010, and said, when all is said and done, when you strip away all the propaganda, Dunkirk was an incredible military defeat. Here's what I want you to envision. Remember in the first Gulf War, the highway of death, when the Army leaving Kuwait, and the United States military strafed it and just wiped out, the men and equipment, and the rest of the army just crippled back across the Kuwaiti border into Iraq. I want you to picture Dunkirk was the exact same thing as the highway of death in the first Gulf War. All of the British military equipment was destroyed, and about 400,000 troops got across the channel on these small boats and, light ships and such. They were demoralized. They had no equipment. They had no fuel. They had no trucks. They had their rifles on their back, and they were sitting over there on the English Channel, and that was it. That was an incredible military defeat. There only the most pathological schizophrenic liar would claim that Dunkirk was some sort of military victory. Now, that is not the first time that, from a political point of view, that Hitler had allowed an army like that to get away. Bear in mind, also, there was a geopolitical situation going on. Hitler had never wanted a major war with the British to begin with. So, they're completely smashed as a fighting force. The British military was completely smashed at Dunkirk. There was no way that they could mount a counterattack. They couldn't even defend the British Isles at that point. Now, it wasn't too long thereafter Hitler actually had given what he called an appeal to reason and, issued a peace offering. And of course, by that time you had, Churchill was entering the fray, walking around nude in the, and holding meetings in the nude and, drinking and such. And, being manipulated by international Jewry, and of course FDR doing his intrigues from across the Atlantic. It's absolutely incredible to think that Dunkirk was anything, that it was either a mistake or a military victory for the British when you calculate the huge losses that the British suffered. You can go and look at the newsreels on YouTube. And look at the tons and tons and tons of material on the beaches. You can look at the sinking and smoking ships out in the harbor, and you can see these demoralized British troops on the ships as they're arriving back in Britain, and see the British broadcaster trying to talk this situation up. It was the highway of death, or what I would call the harbor of death for the British. And
they're the ones that made it the miracle of Dunkirk, and they had the BBC and the newsreel cameras making it that. They're the ones that made a big deal out of it.
This is what Hollywood and the BBC and all this does. Take a defeat and make it into a victory because they knew they were in trouble, and they knew that had the Germans just followed them across the channel, they would have been in big trouble. But that was not a geopolitical objective of the Germans. And let me get back now. Let me segue back to this internal and philosophical issue that is going on. And I know there's probably a lot of questions that are going on in the chat room, and I'm covering this, and I'll go back and I'll check the chat room questions again. And I'll check the questions again, because I'm you know, sometimes I have a little trouble multitasking when I'm actually, you know, covering a lot of stuff. There was indeed philosophical disputes between Hitler and his generals. Hitler not only was the military leader of Germany, but he was the political leader, and he had geopolitical issues going on, and he made it quite clear that it was not his political objective to smash the British Empire by any means. He had actually sought an alliance where basically the British could keep their fleet. He would put German divisions at their disposal, and he had actually sought a grand alliance. And so, you know, the Luftwaffe smashed some of the larger ships that in the harbor at Dunkirk. Some of the smaller ones made it across. You had some of the British troops made it home. And again, we'll see here in a little bit where Hitler had a policy of letting soldiers go that had fought honorably, that were not on his overall geopolitical radar. Also, there was this squabble. You had two lines of you had Gerd von Rundstedt and Günther von Kluge that had issued the initial stop order to consolidate. Hitler sided with that order, but you had Heinz Guderian and what I would call some of the younger mavericks that wanted to go, you know, what we would call, there's an old term, balls to the wall in the military, and they wanted to just run and gun and smash, and they represented a newer, I would call them the Rams or the Mavericks in the German military, and he'd had trouble. He'd always had trouble with them. Hitler, one of the accomplishments of the stop order, and then of course Hitler eventually ordered them to move in and smash the Dunkirk pocket, was to tame this internal, I would call it, as it was a political move within the German military, was to basically tame this this philosophical divide, and to basically relate within the German high command that there was also geopolitical considerations as well. He wanted to leave the British empire intact. Now, one can argue.
Wasn't there also some logistical problems with the military equipment being able to traverse that the route to Dunkirk through the? I mean, it was kind of low marshy area, and
the panzers were there, and that was one of the issues. That was a very minor issue. You had, like I said, before the evacuation, you had 400,000 British and French troops there, and then the French. Second French army had formed a defensive ring around, and you don't send an armored spearhead. That was not one of the Blitzkrieg tactics. You did not send an armored spearhead into a heavily condensed garrison type concentration of enemy troops. So they were consolidating for, you know, a final offensive. And we're going to see this happen. This happened a few other places in the Soviet Union where you had concentrated, where Soviets had concentrated themselves at Minsk and Brest and other places where they learned, you know, the Russians had heavily concentrated troops. This was not unique to Dunkirk. And so, you know, there was two things happening at Dunkirk. There was geopolitical issues that was going on. There was a philosophical divide between Hitler and within the general staff and within the general staff and the general staff. Gerd von Rundstedt and Günther von Kluge, they agreed with the stoppage. In fact, they were the ones that initially ordered it. And then, you had this issue between the general staff and the general staff, like I said. You had Hitler and the general staff. You had geopolitical situations, and then you had the pure military situation. But this was not some grand conspiracy to let the, or a mistake to let them go. There was logistical issues. There was geopolitical issues going on. But then again, this is overshadowed because people have bought into this propaganda that this was some sort of British military victory. And once you realize that this was not a British military victory, this was an overwhelming defeat. When you look at, basically, you had all the British equipment, fuel, trucks, and, you know, light tanks and artillery was all left. Only thing that got away on some of the smaller ships was just the men with their rifles and pistols. And in some cases, the rifles are left on the beaches. You realize that this was a huge defeat. And then, you know, just a year later in Greece, when the nation of Greece was conquered in May 1941, Hitler let the Greek army go immediately. Let them go, because that was not a geopolitical objective. Was the whole Greece that their objectives. Basically, oh. The Bolshevism, he immediately left the Greek.
All right, we are going to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. All righty.
Okay. Let me just finish up on Dunkirk in just summary, Deanna, because there was a couple of questions in the chat room. Okay, the first one, I just want to real briefly. No, Hitler did not create Israel for the Jews. That's an easy one. No, that's absolutely false. Hitler had nothing to do with creating Israel for the Jews, and I'm going to cover that one in a future program when we talk about who stayed in Weimar and who did not. And that's going to be a real good program because I'm going to address the stab in the back, the famous stab in the back theory from World War One as it relates to who stayed in the Third Reich, who had high positions in Weimar and who did not. You'll want to definitely hear that program. finally finish them. Also, in Dunkirk, the British lost about 450 aircraft, which you really never hear about either, in addition to all the other losses, talking about the artillery and equipment. So finally, Dunkirk was a tremendous military defeat. You have to put that in perspective before you even talk about or consider the Dunkirk narrative. Once you acknowledge and understand that Dunkirk was a tremendous military defeat, then I think it's easy to understand that Dunkirk was neither a mistake or any part of any sort of conspiracy theory whatsoever. And so if anybody else has any questions about Dunkirk, feel free to call in or post those on the in the chat room. Real quick about euthanasia. I was going to cover this, Deanna, because we're going to do a show that talks about the Holocaust and other fraudulent hoaxes about the Third Reich. Let me briefly tell you, touch on euthanasia, because it doesn't necessarily cover this topic, but it's asked in the chat room. Yes, there was a real brief experimental euthanasia program in the Third Reich, and this may not be the answer the listeners and those in the chat room want to hear. But it was requested by some members of the German populace who had written to the Reichschancellery. It was experimental by German doctors. And the model for it, believe it or not, if you want to look for a model, there's two models for it here in the United States of America. Look at Washington and Oregon. But the Germans canceled it. It was canceled after very briefly. And it was only operational on those that had very debilitating, and it had actually better safeguards than those, that are actually in place in Washington and Oregon. The ones in Washington and Oregon actually are horrific, but it was operational for a very, very short time. And, I mean, the documents are there, but it was canceled and, was shut down. And was never operational again. And I will address that in the so-called Holocaust, because the Holocaust, they try to suck this in with the part of the Holocaust myth. And the program that was in place that was operational for a very short period of time was actually supported by the German medical profession. And I make no bones about it. I actually support the German program. You can say it's a pilot program or whatever. But I think that.
All righty, we are going to our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back with our guest today, Rodney Martin.